You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Back we are, the music of the stars for a summertime. Sixty years ago, Lady and the Tramp hit the screens, almost to the very day. It was June 22nd. Peggy Lee wrote some of the music. Lady and the Tramp. Had the voices of Peggy Lee and Larry Roberts, Barbara Luddy. Warsaw, WXCO joins us now. 12:30 a.m., 98.9 FM, all the way till high noon. And worldwide at civicmedia.us. I'm Lou Regani, your host, Lady and the Tramp, the anniversary. 60 years, wow. This whole thing was inspired by a real dog belonging to a story artist for Walt Disney, Joe Grant. And the idea developed. Story about a Cocker Spaniel named Lady. Now, she's right at the center of her family's lives until the couple has a baby. And then they go on a trip and they leave Lady in the care of a mean aunt, right? Lady runs away. She meets Tramp. He's a stray dog, saves her life, and they go on adventures. And eventually they fall in love, you know. And the owners come back, Lady comes back, and guess what? Here's the end. They invite Tramp to stay with him too. But while they're on the streets,
watch this. Hey, Joe, look, Butchie, he's got a new girlfriend.
Well, a son of a gun. He's got a cockerel Spanish girl.
She's pretty sweet, kiddo, Butch. You take a Tony's advice and settle down with this one, eh?
This one?
Oh, Tony, you know. He's not a speaking English pretty good.
Now, first we fix the table.
Here's your bones, Tony.
Okay, bones. Bones! What's the matter for you, Joe? I break your face. Tonight, Butcher, he's get the best in the house.
Okay, Tony, you the boss.
Now, tell me, what's your pleasure? A la carte? Dinner? Okay. Hey, Joe. Butcher, he says he wants two spaghetti speciale, heavy on the meatball.
Tony, dogs don't talk.
He's a talking to me.
Okay, he's a talking to you. You the boss. Mamma mia, mangiare, you can never sit here.
Now, here you are, the best spaghetti in the town.
right. It's a beautiful night, and we call it Bella Notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes on this lovely Bella Notte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find an enchantment here. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near.
This is the night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it Bella Notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes on this lovely Bella Notte. So take the love of your loved one, you'll need it about this time to keep from falling like a star when you make that dizzy climb. For this is the night, and the heavens are right on this lovely Bella Notte. Take the love of your loved one, you'll need it about this time to keep from falling like a star when you make that dizzy climb. For this is the night, and the heavens are right on this lovely Bella Notte.
Bob Grabow right there. Peggy Lee wrote those lyrics. Sonny Burke did the song.
Con butto belle fastidia sotercele di Roma. Down each avenue or via street or strada, you can see him disappearing two by two on an evening in Roma. Do they take him for espresso? Yeah, I guess so. On each lover's arm, a girl I wish I knew on an evening in Roma. Though there's grinning and mandolining in sunny Italy, the beginning has just begun when the sun goes down. So please meet me in the plaza near your casa. I am only one, and that is one too few on an evening in Roma. Don't know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you, on an evening in Roma?
Though there's grinning and mandolining in sunny Italy, the beginning has just begun when the sun goes down.
Come belle c'è le luna brille, stretti, stretti con a boy is coming too, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you, on an evening in Roma, sotercelle di Roma, on an evening in Roma. Buonasera, signorina, buonasera. It is time to say goodnight to Napoli. Though it's hard for us to whisper buonasera with that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea. In the morning, signorina, we'll go walking where the mountains help the moon come into sight. And by the little jewelry shop we'll stop and linger while I buy a wedding ring for your finger. In the meantime, let me tell you that I love you. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight.
Buonasera, signorina, buonasera. It is time to say goodnight to Napoli. Though it's hard for us to whisper buonasera with that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea.
In the morning, signorina, we'll go walking where the mountains help the moon come into sight. And by the little jewelry shop we'll stop and linger while I buy a wedding ring for your finger. In the meantime, let me tell you that I love you. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight.
Another summer blockbuster, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, 1984. What a great sequel. Kate Capshaw does the opening number. Here she is. Steven Spielberg fell in love with her.
I want the wa I could dashing leave and ya latching bouncing tens of dow. Anything goes. I want a luchu cha ku cha me hatching sushu shala fong yen it thou it thou.
was on the dados, je crois, nous coucha. Good to was with fair, while long to la dong, what's on the dados, song y ding weba. Anything goes.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes. Good authors too, who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words. Writing prose, anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and day's night today, when most guys today that women prize today are just silly gigolos. So though I'm not a great romancer, I know that you're bound to answer when I propose. Anything goes. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes. And good authors too, who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words. Writing prose, 'cause anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today, and day's night today, when most guys today that women prize today are just silly gigolos. So though I'm not a great romancer, I know that you're bound to answer when I propose. Anything goes. May I say before this record spins to a close, I anything goes.
Francis Albert Sinatra, Nelson Riddle, Cole Porter.
On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
Hey, in there, Ben?
Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming, I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
What does that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing that came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't
you? Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
Yeah, I call them wise sayings.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here. I've been circulating around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but we've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams, you know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals. Professional liberals, don't kid me.
Oh, you call George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah, that's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment of Rooney, try and find him.
Hey, what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise.
Oh, all right, let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so and so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
Oh, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, so, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. A little overboard, isn't it?
Oh, well,
you write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in, huh?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now. And, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me, that artist I sent by. Did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it, and he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties, sign a harmless petition, and forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you non-deplume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The un-British Activities Committee, that's who.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to ray.
Banner to ray.
You must take,
I must take,
a stand,
for this brave new land,
Who wants
to live,
so concerned,
but if, I don't diss,
he don't diss,
agree, but a man can't be
too careful what he signs these
If I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well,
if it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You're sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Yeah, here you are.
Look at that show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
Ah, you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another three or four guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get them to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
Mr. President, how can this Congress vote on independence without a written declaration of some sort defining it?
What sort of declaration?
Ah, well, you know, listing the reasons for the separation, our purposes, goals, so forth, so on.
Ditto,
etc., etc.
We know those, don't we?
Oh, but yes, good God, we know them. But what about the rest of the world? Certainly, we require the assistance of a powerful nation such as France or Spain. And such a written declaration would be consistent with European delicacy.
Come now, Mr. Adams. You'll have to do better than that. Answer straight. What would be its purpose?
Yes. Well,
to place before mankind the common sense of the subject in terms so plain and firm as to command their assent.
I have come to the conclusion that one useless man is called a disgrace, that two are called a law firm, and that three or more become a Congress. And by God, I have had this Congress. For 10 years, King George and his Parliament have gulled, cullied, and diddled these colonies with their illegal taxes, stamp acts, Townsend acts, sugar acts, tea acts. And when we dared stand up like men, they have stopped our trade, seized our ships, blockaded our ports, burned our towns, and spilled our blood. And still, this Congress refuses to grant any of my proposals on independence, even so much as the courtesy of open debate. Good God, what in hell are you waiting for?
Sounds on, sounds on.
Thomas, for God's sake, listen to me.
Enough
of you, sir.
Sounds on.
Now listen.
Why not open up a window?
Will you listen to me and forget the window?
Say vote yes, vote yes, vote for independence. Hey.
So open up a window.
I say vote yes, vote for independence. Hey.
Someone open up a window.
No, 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 no. Too many flies, too many flies. But it's not as hell.
God, consider yourselves fortunate that you have John Adams to abuse, for no sane man would tolerate it.
John, you're a bore. We've heard this before. Now, for God's sake, John, sit down.
I say vote yes.
No.
Vote yes.
No.
Vote for independence.
So open up a window.
I say vote yes.
Sit down, John.
Vote for independence.
Will someone shut that man up?
Never!
December 1776, on the banks of the Delaware. Cruel winds whistle through the threadbare clothing of the 8,000-man American army. All too aware of General Howe's powerful troops across the icy waters, they await the decision of their leader, General George Washington. For he and he alone can make the choice. on which hinges the destiny of their infant nation.
All right, then. How much you want for the boat that says Popeye on it?
$1.20 an hour.
Uh-huh. Well, how about the one that says Donald Duck on it?
Eh?
The one with the little striped awning there?
Oh, yeah. Well, that boat right there?
That boat right there.
Well, that boat right
That's
there?
That's the boat.
Will run you $2 an hour.
What? That's an outrage. This is December. It's your off-season.
Huh.
How many customers can you get this time
Look,
of year?
Look, fella, you run the army and let me run the boat rental, okay?
All right. Don't get smart with me. I'm General Washington.
I know who you are. I seen your picture on the money. And I wish you'd make up your mind. The boat rides are closing.
Well, let's review them once again here. Popeye was $1.20
an hour.
That's
right, $1.20 an hour, that's right.
And the one with the stripe and awning.
General Duck.
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it?
The men are freezing.
So?
So we were wondering if we could come to some decision on the boat.
Yeah, they think they got problems. I just had my wig set this morning, and this damp air isn't doing it any good. Look at it, straight as a stick.
Well, it looks just fine to me, sir.
Really?
Huh? Yes, yes.
Think it looks all right?
Listen, you're going to rent a boat tonight or not? I'd like to freeze my ears off.
All right, don't rush me.
If we could make a decision on the boat, sir, it'll soon be daylight.
Let it be daylight. We're liable to tip over out there at night.
Yes, well, there was the element of surprise in the whole thing, don't you see, sir?
Oh. Well, all right. You could get the men loaded in the other boats. Get that out of the way.
They are in the other boats, sir. They have been for hours. Now, if we could just come
all
to
right.
some...
All right. Hold your horses.
We ate the horses yesterday, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be with you
Did
shortly.
You really eat the horses yesterday?
I didn't. They did. Enlisted man. Now I got it narrowed down to two here. Popeye has the dear little seats in it.
Yes, yes.
That's $1.20.
Uh-huh.
See? And Donald Duck has the stripe and awning.
I see.
$2. Now I'll leave it up to you, Lieutenant. Doesn't that strike you as a little high?
Well, I don't know, sir. Perhaps a bit, but...
All right, you see there? Huh. Now what would you say to $1.75 for Donald Duck?
$2 an hour, not a penny less.
Say, what are you trying to do, gouge a serviceman?
Well, I might ask, what are you army guys trying to do? Stifle the small businessman?
Why, that's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
All right, then, kick the end of Donald Duck around there again. Let me see
it. I can't. My feet are frozen. Oh. Look, mister, why don't you take the one called Popeye? You'll be happy with that boat. The price is right, $1.20 an hour.
Well, I don't know. You like it, Lieutenant?
She's a beaut, sir. Besides, we're only renting it for the one night.
But you really like it better than the one with the awning.
You wouldn't want the one with the awning, sir. Once you got into it, you'd hate it. Honestly, take the other one.
Popeye, you think it's really me?
Yes, on my word, sir, it's you.
But I just don't know about the color.
The color is fine! Black is a great color. It sets off your wig.
Really?
Yes!
All right. Popeye it is.
I tell you, boy, I've seen some customers, but this guy's a Lulu.
Now, we got everything. The flag?
Right, sir.
The ukulele?
Yes, sir.
The sandwiches?
The boatman has some right here, sir.
Oh. What kind you got there?
I got ham and Swiss, liverwurst, or tuna salad.
Well, let me see. Is he... Tuna salad, good today?
It's you! It's you!
All right, how much?
At 25 cents.
What? 25 cents for a tuna salad sandwich?
Here, take it with my blessings.
Well,
hey, take a liverwurst, too. Enjoy, enjoy.
And so the Delaware was crossed. Thus was begun one of the most glorious pages in American history.
Imagine that guy. Wanted 25 cents. Lousy tuna. Whoops, watch where you're rolling now. And like this little boat I picked up for you here? Called Popeye.
I can hear the echo of 1,000 ringing bells. I can smell the cannons and hear the people's yells. Long live George Washington, their ghostly voices say. And I still feel his spirit to this very day. And I can see a young boy growing straight and tall, and as I watch him hunt and ride, I've no doubt at all, it won't be long till he's full grown, and then will come the day he'll become the president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. I see him fighting engines up on his great white horse. I feel the loneliness he felt while steering history's course. He was first in war and first in peace, and he was first again in the hearts of everyone of his countrymen. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. Well, in those days at Valley Forge, he held his men in hand, then crossed the Delaware, and there in Trenton freed this land. He's the father of our country, and to this very day, he's the first and greatest president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. Long live George Washington, I hear the people say. He's the first and greatest president of the USA. He's the first and greatest president of the USA.
That's Fess Parker singing, and here's Fred Astaire as George Washington. On the Music of the Stars. Civic Media Radio Network. The picture, Holiday Inn. The year, 1942. The Music of the Stars.
I could say that you're homely, just as homely as pie, but this is Washington's birthday, and I've got to say, you're beautiful, 'cause I can't tell a lie. I could say that you're stupid, nothing up in your crown, but this is Washington's birthday, and the truthful he of the cherry tree would look down on me and frown. I could say that I hate you if I try, but I've got to say I love you, 'cause it's February the 22nd and I can't tell a lie.
Thank you.
one. This was the climax. Pitifully short of food and supplies, the tattered American army is reduced to a mere handful. While destiny held its breath, General George Washington courageously faced the most awesome challenge of his career.
All right, once again now.
Yes, sir.
You think I ought to surrender in the blue blazer or the trench coat?
Well, the trench coat is nice, sir, but...
Let me slip the blue blazer on once again just to give you the idea.
Sir, that won't be necessary. I remember the
blazer.
Well,
I'll just give you the idea.
You've tried it on 12 times, sir.
Well, you can't rush into these things.
Pardon me, General Washington?
Yes, who are you?
Snyder's my name. I'm from American Bell & Bell. I've got a statement here that's 2 years overdue for that big 5,000-pound job in Philadelphia.
What? You expect us to pay for that bell? Huh. Had a crack in it as long as your arm.
Well, I don't know anything about a crack. All I know is I'm supposed to get something on the account.
Look, I'm going down in history at the moment. Could you come back in a little while?
Well, if you could give us a portion of it now and the balance after you get the country straightened out.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Now I'll leave it up to you, Mr. Snyder. Do you see me surrendering a blue blazer with antique military...
Watch yourself, sir!
Buttons, not too ivy, just...
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it, Lieutenant?
I have an idea how we might not have to surrender after all.
What do you mean? I'm all dressed for the occasion.
But, sir, your country is at stake. Now, here's my idea. You know the Rockwell boy who works on Franklin's magazine?
The one he just hired?
Yeah, skinny kid with a pipe.
Right.
I can have him here in 15 minutes, sir. Uh-huh. I'll get him a big piece of canvas, 500 yards long, some brushes, a lot of paint.
I see.
Well, we've got to work faster. Uh-huh. Finish by daybreak. Now, here's my plan. While the British are sleeping...
Morning, Lord Cornwallis.
Oh, hello, Bradshaw. Fine morning, isn't it, old man? Just the sort of morning to defeat the American rebels, right?
Right, sir.
Well, then, shall we mount the attack and muddle through to victory? What was that?
English horns.
No. Before that.
Gunfire. Oh, the Americans, General. Look, they must have brought up 20,000 fresh troops during the night.
Yeah. Let me have the glass.
Here's it.
No, the other one. Jove, you're right. Look at them all out there. How fierce they look. Why, they're not moving a muscle. Seem to be frozen in their tracks, almost like a painting. A grim visage of war. My, look at the determination on that fellow, the skinny kid with the pipe. Hello, they've begun their barrage.
Great heavens, Lord Cornwallis. I'm afraid we've had it.
Yes. Well, time for the better part of valor and all that. Shall we go?
After you, sir.
Righto.
The thing is working, Lieutenant.
Well, I don't... Wait! General Washington!
Huh?
Here come a couple of British officers waving a white flag!
I say, we surrender. We give up. Stop all that dreadful shooting, old man.
All right, wait a minute. Let me kill the sound effect here. Okay, you guys. Strike the war set. Roll it up.
Good heavens. We've been diddled.
Did I hear you surrender there?
Yes, but look here, old fella. It's not cricket. You're not playing the game.
What's that?
We thought you had a whole regiment here. Look, Bradshaw, the whole thing was nothing but a ruddy painting, a backdrop.
That's right. Well, a little gimmick I thought up there. Actually, our army was routed yesterday. Nobody here but me, the lieutenant, and the skinny kid with the... Where'd he go?
You rolled him up in the backdrop, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, release him there. You all right, young man?
Give him a pipe.
Poor Rich. Has his pipe jammed in his cheek. Give him a hand, Bradshaw. Oh,
yes, of course. Ruined a good cave, would he, there?
Fortunes of war.
I say, Lord Cornwallis, this whole thing is...
No, Bradshaw. Well, you fellows win, I guess.
Yes, well, that's the way it goes, you know.
Of course, the king will be livid.
Uh-huh. Well, you still have most of the rest of the world. Mustn't be piggy.
Quite so, yeah.
Say, you mind if I try on the sword there?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, all right. What do you think? Is it me?
Lord Cornwallis.
Is it me?
It's you, yes. Yeah. What is it, Bradshaw?
Could I speak to you privately?
Yes, all right. Excuse us, please. No,
if you'll permit me, sir. There's only the three of them. Now, one signal from you, and we'll take them all prisoner.
My dear fellow, look at it this way. Now that those chaps have won, this makes us foreigners, right?
Right.
And we all know how foolishly generous the Americans are.
You mean?
Yes. Tomorrow we apply for foreign aid.
I say, what a smashing idea.
You ready, gentlemen?
Any time, actually.
But for any eve of the 4th of July, I, Paul Harvey, do herewith bequeath unto you something to remember. You may not be able to quote one line from the Declaration of Independence at this moment. Henceforth, you'll always be able to quote at least one line. It's in the last paragraph where you will recall when I remind you, it says, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In the Pennsylvania State House that's now called Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the best men from each of the colonies sat down together. This was a very fortunate hour in our nation's history, one of those rare occasions in the lives of men when we had greatness to spare. These were men of means, well-educated, 24 were lawyers and jurists, 9 were farmers, owners of large plantations. On June 11, a committee sat down to draw up a Declaration of Independence. We were going to tell the British fatherland, no more rule by redcoats. Below the dam of ruthless foreign rule, the stream of freedom was running shallow and muddy. And we were going to light a fuse to dynamite that dam. This pact, as Burke later put it, was a partnership between the living and the dead and the yet unborn. There was no bigotry, there was no demagoguery in this group. All had shared hardships. Jefferson finished a draft of the document in 17 days. Congress adopted it in July, and so much is familiar history. But now, King George III had denounced all rebels in America as traitors. Punishment for treason was hanging. The names now so familiar to you from the several signatures on that Declaration of Independence, the names were kept secret for 6 months for each knew the full meaning of that magnificent last paragraph in which his signature pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. 56 men placed their names beneath that pledge. 56 men knew when they signed that they were risking everything. They knew if they won this fight, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling nation. And if they lost, they'd face a hangman's rope. But they signed the pledge. And here is the documented fate of that gallant 56. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter, trader, saw his ships swept from the seas. To pay his debts, he lost his home and all of his properties and died in rags. Thomas Lynch Jr., who signed that pledge, was a third-generation rice grower, aristocrat, large plantation owner. After he signed, his health failed. His wife and he set out for France to regain his failing health. Their ship never got to France, was never heard from again. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, his family in poverty and in hiding. Vandals looted the properties of Ellery and Clymer and Hall and Gwinnett and Walton and Hayward and Rutledge and Middleton. Thomas Nelson, Jr. of Virginia, raised $2 million on his own signature to provision our allies, the French fleet. After the war, he personally paid back the loans, wiped out his entire estate, and he was never reimbursed by his government. In the final battle for Yorktown, he, Nelson, urged General Washington to fire on his, Nelson's, own home, which was occupied by Cornwallis. It was destroyed. Thomas Nelson, Jr. had pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor. The Hessians seized the home of Francis Hopkinson of New Jersey. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed, his wife imprisoned, She died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed that declaration, was captured, mistreated, his health broken to the extent that he died at 51. His estate was pillaged. Thomas Hayward Jr. was captured when Charleston fell. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, his properties gone. And he died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. Lewis Morris saw his land destroyed, his family scattered. Philip Livingston died within a few months from the hardships of the war. John Hancock, history remembers best due to a quirk of fate rather than anything he stood for, that great sweeping signature attesting to his vanity, towers over the others, one of the wealthiest men in New England. And yet he stood outside Boston one terrible night of the war, and he said, "Burn Boston, though it makes John Hancock a beggar, if the public good requires it." So he, too, lived up to the pledge. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its more merciful bullets. I don't know what impression you had of the men who met that summer in Philadelphia, but I think it's important that we remember this about them. They were not poor men. They were not wild-eyed pirates. These were men of means. They were rich men, most of them, and had enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal living.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.